Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann, we continue our series ahead of the general elections on May 29, catching up with various political parties and checking on their state of readiness. We are joined today by Marlon Daniels, National Chairperson of the Patriotic Alliance. Marlon, thank you very much for your time. Briefly, how are things going with the Patriotic Alliance? How would you describe your state of readiness for May 29?
How do I describe the state of readiness for 2029? First and foremostly, other than having to thank God for where we find ourselves as a political party, and also having to pray unto God for redeeming, for wanting to, or having to help us with the current state. If you look at the status quo, we reach out to Him for help. We have to put God in the center of everything, and we thank God for the fact that the ANC, who's been the ruling party for the last 30 years, have made it much easier for us and any other party contesting this upcoming elections.
What do you anticipate the major issues to be? Most of the electorate appear to be highlighting crime and the economy, unemployment, as issues that require addressing. Is that your reading of things as well, or are there other key points that the Patriotic Alliance are addressing?
Well, most certainly, I stand in agreement with whoever made those utterances or citing those challenges in the society. I do have to agree with them. That is what it is. Nothing stops a bullet like a job. So having said that, it covers the aspects of crime. It covers the aspects of unemployment and, affecting just the general society at large. I'm currently in Cape Town campaigning because this is the only province that's not been liberated. It's still under the clutches of the engineers of apartheid. As it stands, we have to zoom into the important aspects that affects everybody directly, irrespective of which political party you back, support, or are affiliated to. Once we learn to differentiate between political issues and societal matters, then things will be so much better. You've got crime. You've got all these things. I looked at the old lady the other day. She was walking to church all by herself. And I saw those trotties on the other side of the road. And I said to myself, you dare do something to this old lady because she had a bag with her. And that is the reality that we are faced with. It is not safe to walk around anymore. Kids don't find themselves out in the middle enjoying sports because they cannot go to training because of the challenges of walking down to their local fields where they should go and have training because of crime. So those things are really critical. As far as the unemployment is concerned, you know what? I must agree with Musi. Musi the other day said that we can create jobs for every household, and that is so true. So the lack to do that is what the problem is, because if they start to steal us, if they start to do what they're supposed to do, and then there will be a job in every household. There I have to agree, because I'm not the type of person who says, no, it's not a Patriotic Alliance who said that, so I'm not going to, I don't fancy what's been said. Don't worry who the messenger is. Look at the merits thereof. That's the crime. There's the healthcare. There's the jobs. But in the main, it's the jobs, it's the economy, and it's the opportunities for our youth. I mean, you and I, Darren, I mean, we've been around the block for decades already. But what about those who've been around barely two decades? What hope do they have if the status quo is not going to change on the 29th of May? So I would focus much more on two sectors. One would look at the youth, and one would look at those who are not regarded as fit enough to be employed or being employable. You're 40 years old, you apply for a job. You're 49 years old, you apply for a job. And they go, no, you're too old. I'm going to look at the youngsters. But then there's that vacuum. So I remember, and I'm going to say this publicly, I'm going to say this live, because I like to talk about personal experiences when it comes to these things. My father was in prison. My father went to jail for armed robberies. And one day, many years later, when he spoke to me, he said, Marlon, I need to talk to you. And he was crying that evening, and he explained to me why he has gone to do that. He said to my boy, you're my firstborn. I had no job. I looked at you in the heart of winter. You had no shoes. I couldn't clothe you with something warm during the heart of winter. And then a friend and I decided, no, let's do something. And I went to commit armed robbery, and I got caught, and I done my time. There and then I got so much different respect for my dad. I'll tell you why. Because it's circumstantial that he has gone to go and do that. And therefore, I'm very slow to judge when it comes to crime in our areas. We need to change the circumstances of our people by giving them the best gift than ever before in any time of anyone's life, and that is a job opportunity. Therefore, I believe that nothing stops a bullet like a job. So we need to address those things, Darren. But the current government has failed us. The fact that they are all about apartheid, the fact that they're all about reverse apartheid, the fact that they're all about if you are not African by the definition of the African National Congress, if you're not African, then you are not going to be considered. I mean, people want to blame your grandparents for being white. You never asked to be white. People want to blame us as coloureds, saying you went as SAKK to fight with the white people at SWAPO and so forth, alongside the military wing of the African National Congress, against the military wing of the African National Congress. The coloured people joined the white people in the army to go and fight for liberation, to go and fight and pretend and just to get a job. They went to go and fight to put bread on their tables. They got the job opportunity because in the army they could also get skills. So as the PA we are saying, when you turn 18 years old, we've learned from the nationalists what to do. Don't come and tell me that, no, they're the people who are part. Listen, they were good in them. So one of the good things they've done, they said at the age of 18, you go to the army. As the PA, we're going to do the same thing. You're going to go to the army.
You're going to bring back conscription?
Absolutely. We're going to do that. I'll tell you the benefits thereof. Other than the fact that it teaches you discipline, it teaches you obedience, it also gives you an opportunity to leave the army with the prospects of going into a career, of carving out a career for yourself, because you can also learn a lot of other skills there, isn't it?
Marlon, if I could ask you, identifying crime and unemployment as major issues facing the electorate is one thing. What strategies does your party propose for addressing those?
All right, first and foremost, I think this should be a blanket approach, not just for those in charge of safety and security. You must have people fit for purpose, first and foremostly. Because if you don't have anybody in that position, in charge of that directorate, who doesn't understand the directorate at all for not having been involved in it at any given time of their lives, they're not fit for purpose. Somebody that understands this game. So the first thing we need to do is, who is going to head up safety and security in our country or in our province or even locally? Who's going to do that? So if you don't tick the boxes, you're not going to go in. Then what you need to do is, not everybody are academics. You hardly find, Darren, you hardly find somebody, a professional person, going to break in at somebody else's house or car. So what do you need to do? Make sure everybody's in a position to put bread on the table. That's going to bring crime down. And how do you do that? For not being academic, not all of us, you have to come back with the technical schools and make sure that opportunities are created for anybody. There mustn't be such a thing as a dropout. You just feel that a senior secondary school is not for you. You go up to a certain grade, grade 9 or grade 10, and then you, from there on you go into those institutions that provide you with technical skills. That's what you need to do. So then you're going to have so many more employed people and less people doing these petty crimes and worse. So what do we do? In short, create opportunities for people that do not become state dependent. I mean, the ANC said 20 million people is now dependent on grant, and they beat their chest for saying that. How can you do that? You cannot make people dependent on the state and SASA and those type of grants. Create opportunities for them to fend for themselves. So that is one thing that we will do. And I promise you, that will bring down the chunk of the crime in our country when everybody has got opportunities and proudly wake up in the morning and go and work. It's the absence thereof that make people resort to violence. Therefore, I made an example of my personal experience with my dad, who's committed crime because of being unemployed.
Marlon, you referred to the Western Cape as not having been liberated, the one region in South Africa that hadn't been liberated yet. What did you mean by that? The Democratic Alliance were traditionally in opposition to the National Party, who were the architects of apartheid. What did you mean?
Well, it's very simple. You see, leopard doesn't change its spots. Yes, indeed, the Democratic Alliance has been in opposition. They've been, I've not done my homework, but I think they've been in control of the Western Cape for the last 15 years, on or about. Those before has messed up. They came, they should have learned from others what not to do, but yet they came to reintroduce the policies and everything that they've engineered back in the day with Verwoerd. You know, I landed in Cape Town. Yeah. I was so shocked to find at the airport, there are only black people that work there. I saw the colored people outside pushing trolleys for people to their cars. But inside, there were only black people. That cannot be right when it's mostly colored populated. I'm not saying black people mustn't be employed. We are not a colored party. But if there were only Chinese people, I would have asked the same question. But nobody would have challenged me if I spoke and I said there were only white people working there. They would have said, Marlon, you are right. How can there be white people working only? You see. So it must be a blanket approach. It cannot be right that the Democratic Alliance, who the top 20 of the list are all white people, that's going into parliament. Democratic Alliance, who's close to 80% at the top structures, are whites only, when others are used as tokens. And that is evident if you look at at Cape Town. Look at the Western Cape. Talk about Cape Town Metro, Cape Metro. You walk around in Cape Town, they do exactly what the ANC does where they're in control. They only make sure the main roads are clean, but go into the inner parts of the areas, then you'll see how different it is. So the Democratic Alliance, they have no regard in the Western Cape for the colored people. No regard. They're only a voting fodder for them. What are they doing? Why are they not getting employment?
Marlon, reading between the lines, I'm getting the idea the Patriotic Alliance might be focusing on the Western Cape more than other regions in South Africa on the 29th of May. Would that be fair?
Western Cape, the Northern Cape in the main, and Gauteng. Those are the main provinces. We are very realistic. We look at our numbers. We look at our registered voters. We look at each province, what our support bases are like. We look at all the by-elections that we've been contesting today to look at our support bases. And that gives us an indication. Remember, Darren, the Patriotic Alliance does not have any funders. The PA does not have any money that comes from taxpayers to fund our campaign. It's personal funds that has been used to carry us throughout, for we are not represented in parliament, therefore we're not qualified to get funding. So when you have money, you have to use it sparingly and you have to use it wisely. So we have to invest the money where we've got the numbers, and then on an apportionment, scale down to other areas where the numbers are not so great, but we cannot just simply ignore the other areas. So we have categorized platinum areas and gold areas and bronze areas in our little caucuses that we have, so that we can make sure that we maximize the funds that we have. It's not cheap to run the elections. For this election, you need what? You need about 250 bars to run this election.
It's a little more than I've got in petty cash, I'm afraid.
Oh, Darren, so we have to focus on certain areas where we're a bit strong, you know, to make sure. But the Western Cape is ours, I can tell you that. The Western Cape is ours. This is the last time that the Western Cape is going to be controlled by the DA. So we can now liberate them with new people. Not the ANC. The ANC can never liberate nobody in this country. The DA, after 15 years, if not, so are we going to give the DA another chance like we've given the ANC 30 years and double the DA's time, and hopefully at the back end of their 30 year, to compare with the ANC's 30 years, they are going to change things around. If you've not done it within your first term, you are never going to do it.
Marlon, what would you consider as having been a successful general election for the Patriotic Alliance? What sort of result would satisfy you?
Caitlin McKenzie being the president of the country.
Okay, but that's not going to happen.
Says who?
I'm suggesting it. We can talk again on the 30th of May, but let's be realistic. That is highly unlikely at best.
You know what, Darren, I'm so glad that you've got that view, and I respect your view. And I don't think it's your fault, because you're not a politician. So that is why I will forgive you for this one. No, not forgive. Let me excuse you, rather. So, you know, Caitlin McKenzie is going to be the president of South Africa. I'll tell you the difference between him and anybody else who's standing as a presidential candidate. Everybody else, where have they been for the last 10 years? Nowhere. They only come out of the woodwork on the eve of elections. Our party is 10 years old. Every year, consistently, every month, is on the ground at any given place in the country doing community work.
Marlon, that's not in dispute. I think it's been well publicized, a lot of the initiatives that Gayton has instituted. I'm just saying the ANC are going to get the lion's share of the vote. This is what all indications are. All opinion polls point to that. Whether it's more than 50% or less than 50%, depending on which opinion poll you go with, it varies. And the party that gets the most votes appoints the president. That's the only point I'm making.
What's the difference between the three tiers of governance? I'm assuming we know some Mandela Bay as we're speaking now, Darren.
I am. Where you are in the ruling coalition.
Yeah. And there you're sitting with a minority party being the mayor. In prior to that, you had your Babani being the mayor. You had an acting mayor coming from the AIC, and the list goes on. So it's not necessarily that the majority, because you see what happens. The smaller parties gang up together and say, all right, we've got a choice. We're going to bring you into power on the condition that you don't steer the ship. We're going to get somebody to steer the ship for us, because you've done it over 50 years or over whatever period of time, and you failed our people, evidently so. As much as you are denying it, then comfortable truth is you failed our people. Give somebody else a chance. We can't be doing the same thing over and over again. I've been in coalition discussions before, numerous times, where we have to discuss the power sharing, where the horse trading takes place. And everything is about power. So if we have garnered in our votes, with all the other parties who's backing the Patriotic Alliance, we're looking at about 6, 7, 8 parties, close to 10 parties that's going to be supporting the PA in this campaign. So what happens next? We become the kingmaker, and you know what happens with the kingmaker. It is highly likely that Clayton McKenzie will be the president of South Africa based on a kingmaker status. I'm not so naive to say we're going to get 50 plus 1% majority. In the national elections or provincial elections, I'm saying that we are most certainly destined to be the kingmaker.
Marlon, in terms
in
of
certain provinces and nationally.
My next question, in terms of coalitions, what are the likelihood of coalitions at provincial and even national level following these elections?
Well, I can tell you now, whether we like it or not, there will be coalition governments. As far as the Eastern Cape is concerned, as far as Limpopo is concerned, Mpumalanga is concerned, yeah, that's still the roll of the dice that's going to determine the outcome there. But everywhere else, there will be coalition governments, even in the Western Cape.
I'm going to leave it there. Actually, I'm not. One more question for you. If I could focus on the Eastern Cape, a question I overlooked a little earlier. We spoke about the various issues. One that we haven't discussed in detail, the healthcare system in our province is notoriously ineffective and unreliable. True. Have you cast your eye over that particular issue, and what are your thoughts, strategies, and solutions for healthcare in the Eastern Cape particularly?
I did indeed, Darren, and I'll qualify why I say did indeed. I'm not one who answers. I've told you no if it was no. A medical doctor in Nelson Mandela Bay called me not so long ago, and he said to me, Marlon, it's my family doctor. He said, Marlon, I need help. I said, what's the help, doc? He says, my son needs to do an internship. He's prepared to work anywhere in the Eastern Cape, from the Transkei right down, but locally, Livingston, wherever hospitals, Dora, and so forth. I said, let me see what I can do. I've engaged people in the province to say to them, listen, you've got the power, because locally, what the province has done, because the budgets are huge, they have taken even the clinics away at local government to be in charge of the purse, not because they got interest in the well-being of the people and the health of the people. It's because they want to loot the coffers. So they took that also away. So they said to me, no, there's no space for this guy who wants to do his internship. I said, his father is also a medical doctor. His father said, it's fine if he works for free. There's a need for people there. Let him get in somewhere and work for free just to do his 2 years internship. They said, no, we can't do that. That by itself speaks volumes. So therefore, I then zoomed in and I thought, no, this is not right. There's budgets. What's happening? So what we need to do, we need to first and foremostly not centralize that in the province. And we must shift that out back to local government levels, because they've taken charge of it for the wrong reasons. We also need to, equally like the teachers who's underpaid, and in the absence of teachers, we will end up with a banana republic. The medical fraternity, the doctors, equally them too. Everybody will be 6 foot deep, buried. We need to up their salaries. We need to give them better perks, because they work long hours, tedious hours, with lives at risk, and how do they concentrate? So if ever you want to incentivize people better, you will get better quality work from anybody, irrespective of what scope of work we're referring to. But for the medical field, I've worked in medical fields. I worked in a pathology laboratory. I've done my internship at a pathology lab in PE. I've got a fair understanding of what happens there. So our people are underpaid, Darren. We need to put people in charge who's qualified. You cannot make me put me in charge of healthcare. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a professor in the industry. Horses for courses. Put the right people there. change the hours that they work, give them better shifts to work, give them more money, and then you're going to find that most of them will remain in the country. Darren, do you know I worked in London in the health practice, and I've done it only because I wanted to stay in the country. I've done a four-year course to work as a dental assistant. There's a big shortage in dentistry there. For 4 years, I've done a course, 2 years studies, 2 years practical. You know how many South African dentists I bumped into, because from there I became a medical rep in England with my head office having been in Scotland, but I service the whole London area. Do you know how many South African dentists I found in London? Then they said to me, no, it's because of the systems in the country. So it just shows and proves to you that so many skilled people leave the country because of the mess. And who do you blame? You blame the ruling party. So I think we just need to call everybody in, and we're not all knowing, Darren, to address this issue, and it's a critical issue, the health sector. Call the professionals in. Be teachable. Hear what they have to say. You are just a politician. You are just put in charge of this position, of this directorate. Hear what they have to say. Be teachable. Grasp what they say and implement. Get your advice to our professionals in the field, because you're not all knowing. And if you don't know, bring in the people who knows, and they will guide you, direct you, and make sure that the implementation of those plans are in the best interest of the particular directorate or portfolio that you are heading up. And that is how we're going to fix things, because you're going to get it wrong for just being placed there for being a politician or being the most favorite person in your party of whom they voted for you, because democratic processes don't work. They vote for you to go there. They go, no, make Marlon the Minister of Health. What do I know? The little bit that I know from working in the pathology lab, the little bit I know from working in the dental practice, the little bit I know of having worked as a paramedic, the little bit I know of having worked as a dental rep, doesn't qualify me to be the Minister of Health. And that is why I'm saying, calling the people that know. If you find yourself in a space that you're not qualified for, because you have to serve the people in the interest of the portfolio that you occupy so that it can function optimally, but not with me, who knows very little, but wants to be in charge and dictate how things must be done. Therefore, our health system is in a mess. Therefore, our education system is in a mess. The most stupid person as the Minister of Education, Angie Motshekga. And then you've got Bladen Zamandi, who's now of higher education. What contribution have they done? No, Darren, we need to look at these things holistically. I'm telling you, you have to focus on education. And if education is sorted, you're going to get your professionals through the ranks. And you get your professionals through the ranks. You have people who can think rationally, not people who just think big over a glass of beer and what's this thing that they drink in cobalt and then take decisions around the fire. No, that's not how you should do things. So I believe I've got hope for our country. I've got more hope for the country knowing that Gaetan McKenzie is going to be the president of this country. And I've got more hope for this country knowing that you've got a guy who's been working for 10 years nonstop, as opposed to the others who creep out of the woodworks on the eve of elections. And therefore, I cannot understand how and why people will not think rationally and say, this is the man to fix. I may not have supported his party all along. I may not have vouched for the Patriotic Alliance, but the work speaks for itself, and therefore this man deserves our vote and the party advertently win.
Marlon, as you said earlier, I'm not a politician, but as you speak with passion about healthcare and the schooling system in South Africa, I wonder if I might offer a suggestion and get your opinion on it. It's something I think...
I think it's something that I personally think
would sort out our healthcare system and our schooling system in a heartbeat. Any inertia or blockages in the system would be cleared out straight away. If we made it policy or law that all elected officials and their immediate families had to use public healthcare, had to use public schooling, I think any problems would disappear overnight.
That's a very good point you're raising. Up my alley.
Just throwing it out
up
there. Keep it in the back of your mind.
up my alley. Please allow me to respond to this one, if you have the time.
Of course.
Thank you very much. Darren, I once read in the papers that my kids go to Model C schools, and there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. People who know me, people close to me, my family and friends close to me, knows that I say, if ever I take ill, take me to a government hospital. My kids are at a normal government school in the northern areas. Whilst I'm by the means to send them to a different school of my choice. For the very same reason, I said, being a politician, you must practice the heart of politics, not the art of politics. And you can only practice the heart of politics if you are in the middle of what the people are experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And it's for that reason that I've said my kids go to normal schools, overcrowded classes, lack of teachers, lack of resources, broken window panes. My children eat at school. Do you know that? School feeding, the feeding schemes. My children eat at school like anybody else. And that to me is important. So I really know what it feels like. I'm not on medical aid. Many of our people that I know in our organization, they're not on medical aid. And I agree with you. If we do get all the politicians off the state medical aids, get them to attend, let's talk local, there where you are. Let's talk Doran Kinza Hospital. Let's talk provincial and Livingston Hospital. Once they go to those hospitals and have to spend a week or two, where my mother went to go and spend when she had stroke, they will say, oh, no, we cannot live under these conditions. Somebody needs to flick the phones out, phone the minister and say, Minister, you better fix Livingston Hospital. You better fix Dora. You better fix the clinics. Then they will do that because then they will be right in the middle and experiencing what the people are experiencing. And they only read about these things. Therefore, they can only imagine what the people go through, but will never know what they go through for not subjecting themselves to that.
Well, that's
so I'm 100% in agreement.
Well, that's exactly my point. Maybe all the other politicians should follow your example. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for making yourself available today. National Chairperson of the Patriotic Alliance. Can I invoice you for that consultancy work I've just done, Marlon?
Darren, you know what? I'll tell you something. You may do that. You may please do that, but declare it to your bosses. I'm going
to
declare
it. And to the tax man.
And to the tax man, then I've got no issue because it's always nice talking to you. I like the frankness. I like the fact that you are not biased in your journalism that you practice. And I must say to you that I do appreciate you and thank you for inviting me for this chat that we've had.
Always a pleasure. All the best for the election, and we'll speak to you once it's all completed, hopefully, with Gayton McKenzie as our new president.
That's correct. And I will invite you to the ceremony that we're going to have. Please get your suit out.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.